Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. By looking at the numbers of the people on the call, OMG, we definitely have a world-class turnout for tonight's call, specifically because of tonight's guest. I want to thank all of you for dialing in this evening because we do have a fabulous guest, one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with, coaching, mentoring, and sharing the stages of many places in the United States. And I'm going to bring C.G. Siddons out as our featured speaker this evening. C.G., are you on with me already?
I'm here, Jeff.
C.G., the numbers are astounding. You should see the numbers I'm looking at of the people on the call. I mean, they definitely showed up for you. That means you have great value. So I'm going to bring you out here in just a couple minutes, and we're going to have a fabulous call. It's awesome to collaborate with you. If you're on tonight's call for the very first time, welcome to the call. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I've been hosting this call for 18-plus years, each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. This call is a recorded and available for playback the following day. That would be Wednesday by noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific Time. That's available at Podomatic.com. It's also filtered through my Facebook fan page and my Facebook page where you can have access directly to this call. This call has been recorded for many, many years, and you can find all of the archive calls of all the exceptional, inspirational speakers, network marketers, direct sales, spiritual writers, speakers, and people from all walks of life that I've had the privilege of interviewing for the last 18-plus years. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and then we'll move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This Saturday, it will be in the San Francisco Bay Area, specifically Pleasanton, California, where I did share the stage with almost 2 years to the day with C.G. Siddons and Alexis Romano in Pleasanton, California. Rebecca Caffiero, who's an exceptional client and friend of mine, is the host for that event. On July 23rd, which is Saturday, 1 week from this Saturday, I will be in beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida, right on the Fort Lauderdale Beach in the beautiful Westin Hotel. And I want to thank Lisa Pisanza and Jackie Agustinelli for being my hostess with the mostest at that event. Saturday, July 30th, I will be in beautiful Marina del Rey in West Los Angeles. August 20th, I'll be in Albany, New York with Frank Pecorino. Frank, thank you very much for hosting that event. August 27th, Philadelphia. CG's informed me that she's going to be there with me and Dawn Ferrantino. It's going to be a fabulous event. September 8th, 9th, and 10th is Breakthroughs to Success. I want to thank my exceptional friend and absolute great speaker, Dawn Ferrantino, who's also going to be hosting a couple events in New Jersey with me on September 17th and November 19th. September 17th, we'll be in Clark, New Jersey, and November 19th, I will be in Weehawken, New Jersey with Dawn. Dawn has also been a featured speaker on this call. I'll be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire on September 24th, and Jeremy Engel is going to be hosting his first ever More Heart Than Talent event in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. So those are a few of the events where I will be speaking in the next few months. I have my calendar pretty much filled out with the exception of a couple of dates that I'm in the process of filling. If you'd like to reach me directly, you may call me at 209-932-0227. You can also connect with me on a couple of my Facebook pages, my direct personal page, Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y-C-O-M-B-S. I also have a fan page and a couple of group pages and a couple of other pages. The Guilt Cleanse is a definite group that would be merit your joining. Guilt Cleanse, G-U-I-L-T-C-L-E-A-N-S-E. That is a fabulous group. It's a great place to address some of your unresolved issues in a very, very great forum. With that, we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I wanted to save as much time for our exceptional guest tonight, someone who's very near and dear to me that I've had the privilege of collaborating with for 5 years. Our featured speaker tonight is C.G. Siddons. C.G. is one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with. I met C.G. almost 5 years ago. Coming up this October, she attended one of my events. CG hired me to be your coach on that day. We'll share with you a little bit about that story, about how it all transpired. From $500 a month to multiple six-figure income earner in just 2 years' time, that is CG Sidden's story. CG was able to take command of her life by assisting others take control of theirs. As a struggling bartender, and I watched this whole story unveil itself, in 2012, CG embarked on a network marketing opportunity and had the privilege of impacting thousands of people's lives physically, financially, and emotionally by following the call of what truly inspired her. She's one of the most exceptional leaders I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with, and she now is able to create her passion through coaching, training, and empowering others to live into their own greatness. CG, unequivocally, my honor to have you on tonight's call.
My goodness, Jeff, it's so my honor to be on your call because I've been, like you said, with you and working with you and listening to you for 5 years, and I say this completely genuinely. You absolutely changed my life, and I would not be where I am had it not been for the work we did together. So I'm so honored, and I can't thank you enough for everything that you've been a part of with me the last 5 years.
CG, I will unequivocally receive your compliments, but I also want to pass on some of those compliments to two exceptional women who have been there with me and you, your good friends, Tara Romano and Alexis Romano. They have been as instrumental in your growth, breakthroughs, and success as I and you, because you unequivocally took your game to the next level with those three women at a very similar time when the three of you came together and created this absolute culture that you created, started out on the East Coast and now is spreading all around the globe. CG, doesn't it seem like it sometimes it was 5 minutes ago that I met you and 50 years ago at the same time?
Yeah, it's wild how it, yes, it feels like it was just yesterday that I hired you and I went to work behind the bar, and it also feels like you said, it was another lifetime because so much has happened over the last couple of years.
Well, let's tell the story the way the story really happened, because it merits people understanding that there is, of the glory, there's always a story behind that glory. So people see you today as this magnanimous young woman who is changing people's lives. You've built a culture with your family and your great friends, and that your culture is stretched all around the globe to where you're able to really live a good life by empowering others. And I have the unequivocal privilege of watching the whole story unfold in a five-year period. It was those first 2 years, though, that I really watched the breakthroughs begin to happen. So back on October 31st, you came to one of my events with your good friend Alexis Romano. Alexis brought about seven people to Fort Lee, New Jersey. Do you remember this event like yesterday?
Like yesterday.
Remember Pete Tamillo was sitting in the front row with his group, and then there was only about 40 people in the room. Alexis brought seven or eight people. Pete Tamillo brought about seven to eight people, and that was one of those events that you had to drive all the way down the freeway, catch a bridge, go up through the woods, come back down the other side of the freeway, and go to that event in Fort Lee, and you were in that audience that day. That was October 31st, which was Halloween night. There was a horrific snowstorm that day, and you were bartending that night. Where were you bartending that night?
I was bartending in Seaside Heights, New Jersey at Jimbo's, where I had worked for almost a decade on and off for the same people.
Right, and that was Jeff and Michelle Jackson, who are very good friends of yours and also top-tier producers in your company with you. And it's amazing what has happened to you and them. But that was a snowstorm. Do you remember that? Like those giant snowflakes coming down. It was Halloween night, and you were going to work. How are you feeling that day?
I remember actually driving to work in, like you said, the massive snowstorm. And I remember pulling in to my parking space and texting Alexis Romano, literally remember this like it was yesterday, and texting Alexis and saying, I don't know how exactly, but I know my life changed today, and thank you for telling me I should be there. And I vividly remember sending her that and really feeling like I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how I'm getting there, but I know something is going to change, and I know that today was the catalyst for the change that's coming.
And then let's fast forward. So you hire me on October 31st. We begin coaching right around the very end of 2011. I remember seeing you at New Year's kickoff at your company's event that very next January. You and I coached every other Wednesday for one solid year, 2012. And I watched you struggle that year. That was not your year of transformation. That was your year of really figuring out who you were and what you were seeking to let go of. What was 2012 like for you as you were really moving into your first year of part-time free enterprise?
2012 was really challenging for me. And I think it's important for people to know, because I think sometimes, like you said, like we glamorize the story or the glory, and we don't know the story. And I think the more we normalize the story and the struggle, the less people think that they're special as they're going through it. Because I really thought that I was unique and special as I was struggling through 2012 with just wall-kicking moment after wall-kicking moment after disappointment, one after the other. I'm really wondering, like, can I do this? Can someone like me figure this out? Like, is this completely ridiculous to be putting so much time and effort and energy into building this business for myself when I'm not really getting anywhere? And I vividly remember getting on the phone with you every other Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon Eastern for an hour and going back and forth and having the conversation about control and let go of control. And I was the person who was trying to, one, prove that I was going to do it. I was going to do it through sheer work and hustle, and I had clenched fists and gritted teeth. And it was probably the most painful year of my life, but also the most transformational, because had I not gone through that experience and really had to deal with a lot of my own issues, I don't think that I would be the person I am today and be as comfortable and content with my journey and where I am and where I'm going and the people I bring in and really understanding the process that so many people go through. So, I mean, 2012, like I said, was challenging, absolutely, but it was so necessary for me to go through that period and to have you really guide me through it.
Not only did you go through that, but you invested a lot of money in yourself. You invested in my coaching, but you invested in other healers and people who could assist you because you were looking for the answer. You were looking for someone to give you that magic bullet, that recipe, that millionaire blueprint, that book called Letting Go that allowed you to let go of the control you were in control of. But a remarkable situation happened. You came to one of my events in December of 2012. Joe Alonzo was there, as was Joe DiBianca. And you had one of those aha moments, a breakthrough moment. And people go, well, what was it? What was it? How do I have one? How do I get one? How do I? And it wasn't quite like that. I mean, this is one of those, you know, I ask you, Taryn Alexis, or I could ask Susan Sly or Jennifer Trinker, some of the women that I've coached, or Arthur Tubman, or Corey Sheen, some of the most remarkable people I've ever coached, you know, how did you do it? Well, it's really one of those situations you have to be experienced, can't be explained. But to the best of your ability, at the end of 2012, you were ready to let go. Because 2013 was your breakthrough year, but what happened at the end of 2012 that allowed you to experience that mythical, magical moment of letting go?
I realized that the struggle I was in was one I was creating and perpetuating for myself every single day. And I felt like it was so real. And I think that that's so common that we think that we're going through something and it's challenging and it's a struggle and all of these things are going on. And at your breakthroughs event was really when I was able to see myself through other people's eyes, and I was able to separate myself from my story and realize that it was something I was giving so much significance to that really didn't merit it. And it didn't happen overnight. It's not like I walked out of the doors to breakthroughs and like took the house down in my company, but it was the catalyst to really me moving forward and letting go and understanding that I am not my story. Whereas up until that point, I felt like my story was me and there was no separation. So that's the best way I can explain.
Now, that is really good. So what you just said merits a whole seminar. My story was not me. My story was my story, meaning that, and you've also had the privilege of spending some great time with Dr. Joe Dispenza. I know that you and Alexis have seen Dr. Joe at some of his advanced events, and incidentally, he's going to be on my call August 23rd. So you know what that will mean for the people listening because you've seen him many times. But what it means is that you're able to separate your feelings from the events that have created your story. And then 2013 rolls around. Now, these are facts. You start 2013 making about $500 a month, just enough to pay for your products. Yet you end 2013 at multiple five figures a month. Now, that's a quantum leap, some greater than whole of part. Now, Alexis has had this happen to you, her. Tara's had it happen to her. CG's had it happen to her. Some of the women on my call tonight, this is another one of these, you have to experience it to understand it. But when people begin to show up, how could you explain to the people on tonight's call who no one's showing up how you were able to create the show-up factor? Is this one of those things you laugh about before you explain it?
Yeah, as you're asking the question, I am. Like, thinking back, I think I was able to attract people because I shifted my energy. So I shifted the people that I attracted. I feel like my energy became so much lighter. And I actually said to Alexis just yesterday, I called her because I said I was really challenging probably to be around during that 2012 period. I was negative. I was struggling. I was really going through some stuff. And why did you stick around when I was going through this story that I had and I was probably being a victim and I was being negative about it and I really was not seeing the sunny side?
Don't forget what you were doing to your teeth that year.
Yeah, I was like grinding my teeth, like
I'm laughing, you understand this.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like I probably didn't take a deep breath that entire year. And she said,
what does that mean, you didn't take a deep breath? Because there's people on the call that understand. I coached a woman tonight. She so reminds me of you. She has all the talent that you do, the juice, but she's got that angsty angst, that grind going on. What would you tell someone who has that angst and that grind going on in their teeth because no one's showing up?
It's honestly so simple, which is probably going to really annoy people, but taking a deep breath. And it's one of the things we used to do when we were on the phone because I was in such anxiety that I couldn't see an outcome greater than what I was experiencing in that very moment. And just taking that deep breath really can help reset so we can see, like, past what we're living in that very moment. Because I remember my thoughts being so overwhelming that I would actually leave one room and go to another and be like, oh, no, like, my thoughts are following me. I can't escape this right now. And
that was classic. I can barely handle this. I'm about to fall out listening to you. Because I remember.
But it was. Yeah, like
I remember how much energy you put into coming to breakthroughs. You practically exhausted yourself before you got here.
I was just told this story to someone recently, like sobbing in my car before breakthroughs because I was so terrified of having to come. And I'll never forget sending you an inbox, and you called me right away, and you said, "CG, you don't have to come, but I would never put you in a position where something awful was going to happen to you." And I remember, of course, telling Alexis, like, I don't know if I can do this. And her saying, like, you're not going to die. No matter what happens there, you're not going to die. If you're going to die, I could see why you're reacting the way you are. But that's not going to happen. And it was a really incredible experience to remember flying to breakthroughs in 2012, crying the whole way on the plane because I was so nervous and uncomfortable and in so much control and so much anxiety. And going back to breakthroughs in 2013, in a different seat on the airplane and being overcome with emotion that my life had changed so significantly in 12 months. And it wasn't just the financial part of me that changed. It was really that emotional part of me that had to change to create the financial success. So it was just such like a powerful experience to go to breakthroughs those 2 years and have the same tears, but from a different place.
I remember telling you, I remember watching you go through these breakthroughs. I watched you absolutely create the quantum leap. And I knew that you were destined for greatness. I didn't know it when I first started coaching you, but I saw it in 2013. And I know that Tara and Alexis are also equally as proud of you as I am. And all the great people in your circle of influence that have been there with you watched you, that you've, Joe Alonso, Don Ferrantino, I mean, all the great people have been in that circle of influence with you that go back to 2012 and 11 and 13. But now a whole different situation has happened. You're now one of the top income earners in one of the top internet or network marketing companies in the world. You're in a company that does about $800 million in sales annually. You're in the top, I believe, top 40 income earners in a company that does $800 million in a year. I mean, this is remarkable to think that you would be a struggling bartender 5 years ago and in a three-year period, because that's what had happened, between 2012 and 2015, your whole life changes. What insight would you give the people on tonight's call who are struggling, who are in that place where people aren't showing up? Their leads suck because they suck. You remember that syndrome? It's funny how your leads suck because you suck, but it kind of goes together, doesn't it? I mean, there's no real, that's not a play on words, it's reality. So, I mean, now your company is having you speak at events all over the world, and very soon you're going to be writing articles, and you become an international superstar. It has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? International superstar. Classic.
Beautiful ring to it.
Classic.
It is.
Especially when you remember how your teeth were in 2012. I mean, it's funny because you and I can laugh about it, but I also know how painful it was. I used to virtually be on the phone with you and go, oh, my God, I feel so bad for this young woman. I did, because you were 26 and 7 and 20, going through what you were going through. Your story gives people a lot of inspiration because it's real. It's raw. You can tell it. Let them know what they can do tonight to let go of where you were in 2012.
I would say do the work. I think that people tend to pretend to do the work, and that was my conversation with Alexis when I said to her, why did you keep supporting me when I was really going through all this stuff and I was negative and my mindset was terrible? And she said, because you never stopped working on yourself and you were willing to do anything that was suggested to you, and that really was true for me. I was willing to do anything. So for someone struggling, I would say, like, are you really willing to do anything? Are you really willing to do what's required to get yourself to the next level? Because doing what's required and doing what's convenient or what feels good in the moment can be very, very different. So I would say that's number one. And number two, understand that it really is a process and a journey. And I think we're so quick to put people on a pedestal who go really quickly in six figures in 6 months, or like maxing out a comp plan in 12 months. And that's amazing, and more power to those people, of course. But to really understand that everyone has to go through a journey. And like you always say, you have no idea the price somebody paid the day they walked into network marketing or into being an entrepreneur or whatever the case is. You have no idea what their life looks like leading up to that moment, the skills, the habits, the mindset that they walked in with. So instead of looking at other people and comparing yourself to this person who you think started at the same time as you, understand that you have no real idea what anybody's been through in their life. And if you're looking around, look at other people for inspiration, but certainly not for comparison. Because if I chose to look around at all the people who were going faster than me, which was pretty much everybody in the company, when I started, that would have taken me out of the game so quickly. But really understanding that this journey for me was about so much more than the paycheck I get on every Monday. It really was about becoming someone that I really like. And I can say at this point, and it took me a long time to get here, I really have a different level of love for myself because I went through all the things that I did. So the journey is so, so worth it, but you have to be willing to really go through it. And I think that's where most people struggle, is they say they want to go through the journey, but they don't want to have to actually do the work that it involves.
You said it so well. I mean, I remember when you loathed yourself, and to hear you love yourself is like a whole different context of how you went through that process, because you were in that whole space of, no matter what I do is never good enough, I'm not good enough, it's not good enough, I'm not good enough. And you would exhaust yourself not being good enough, looking for that magic bullet to be able to give you that good enough potion. And you really did do the effort. That is what I would also say about you, because even though you were challenged, you weren't complaining. I never felt you were negative. I felt you were pissed off. That's what I felt. It was because it wasn't something you weren't. You weren't really negative. It's that you were frustrated. You were disappointed. You were looking for the solution. But even in that, you were able to produce. Now, see that's you had, your kind of energy was angst. So you had that edge, and it was that edge that allowed you to eventually attract the people that started to come to your enterprise, because you started to take that edge off, that unresolved anger. What were you able to do to really address that repressed addiction anger that allowed you to go from angst to passion?
Well, one, you brought an awareness of it to me, because I, as obvious as it may have been to other people, I did not realize that I was angry. And I actually remember being on a coaching call with you, and I was telling you about an argument I got in with a bar customer. And you said to me, CG, you know you attracted that argument. And I said, no, Jeff, it's the town. The town attracts the people.
Right, Tom's River is filled with people like that.
Yeah, like it's certainly not me. It's definitely the town. And looking back in hindsight, and even during that conversation, I could see like, oh, I look for a fight. I look to be right. I get juiced up about being right when I should get juiced up about being rich and being happy and being all these things. And you really help me kind of distinguish between the two and let go the need to prove myself or to be right. And I think when we're doing this business or any business from this place of trying to prove, like, I'm going to prove to you that this works, and doing it, transitioning to be able to do it from a place of empowering other people, that's when people started to show up. And I see people even on social media who I feel like they're trying to prove to me or to whoever their follower is that network marketing works or their company works or this works. And it has that energy coming from it versus the people that I follow that I feel like they're just empowering the masses and they're not taking it personal, whether someone joins them, doesn't join them, judges them, doesn't judge them, whatever the case may be. So I think really learning to separate myself from the proving and the anger and all those things and really understanding that this isn't about me. And that was such a huge lesson, and it was one of those statements that you and Tara and Alexis would say to me constantly, this is not about you. You have to stop making this about you or about me, because I really felt like, how could I talk to people about this business or about what's going on if I'm not living the lifestyle or the existence that I feel like I'm supposed to be, versus how can I not talk to people about what I have, because I'm so irrelevant in this. I'm just a messenger, and there's all of these people out there who are looking for something, and it's my responsibility to deliver the message and to offer them the solution and to not make it personal or give it any kind of meaning, whether they want to be a part of it or they don't. So I really think I was able to come from a place of not having a lot of attachment to people. And you taught me so much of that, learning how to really read people and not holding on to them with anger and resentment if they didn't do what I thought they should be doing, and just let people do what they're going to do and understand why they're doing what they're going to do. And understanding why I do what I do.
Right, and you learned a lot in the bar trade. I mean, you and I used to compare notes about what bartending was like. Remember the kind of customer you get at midnight?
Yep, I mean, remember them.
Right, there's a whole like inner game of that. It's really learning how to understand what people mean, not what they say, and understand who is and who isn't. And once you really cross that bridge, in a relatively short period of time in any conversation, you're able to read the situation for what it is from trust and faith rather than judgment and ego. And most people don't grasp that. They don't really understand how once you let go, you're in a whole different level of energy and a whole different level of faith. And that's what I saw happen to you in 2013, the they show up syndrome. Now, I know this is another one of those experience questions, but no one can tell it like you do because you lived it. I watched you to go from 500 a month to multiple five figures in a 12-month period. It wasn't the 12 months. It was the 2 years prior. But can you share with some of the people listening some of the skills that you've learned to attract people? Because you've attracted people in your circle of influence, and you also are exceptional at social media, and your company has you train on them. What are some tips to be able to attract people who qualify for your time, dear enterprises, that you've learned and you teach on the stages of the world now?
One of the things that I teach, that's a great question, Jeff, is something that I still have to remind myself to make sure I'm doing, is to have fun with this, which is honestly probably the most simple thing, and it's not probably going to blow anybody's mind. But even when it comes to social media, and I learned so much from Alexis Romano. She literally taught me the system, and I certainly don't have to be the best. I just have to know how to duplicate the best, and that's exactly what I did. And one of the things I really learned with social media was how to really be myself and be authentic and have fun with it, because we always think, like, our friends are our friends for a reason. People are following me for a reason, so I want to make sure I'm having fun and giving people the content that they always enjoyed versus trying to be exactly who I feel like my company wants me to be or the poster child for our products and services. And I really learned that if I'm just me and I'm having fun doing it and I have no attachment, like I just said, which is something I really learned so much from you, is having no attachment and putting no expectation on the people that I'm talking to, whether it's through social media or whether it was bartending, and understanding that people are going to go through their journey, and I'm not responsible for their success or failure. I'm simply responsible to guide them through what I know, and they can either choose to follow or they can choose not to, but at the end of the day, it doesn't come down to me. It comes down to them and what they're willing to do. I'm responsible for my business, but everybody else is responsible for their own. And I think really understanding that and internalizing it takes a lot of the alleged pressure off, because we know that someone's going to be successful on their own accord, or they're going to struggle on their own accord. And there's very little any of us can do as a leader to really change that for people. And I think that's what keeps it fun, is that you get to work with the people who really want to work and the people who really want to do this, and you don't take any ownership over the people who aren't ready to really immerse themselves in what we have.
You know, one of the biggest changes that happened to you is who showed up in the first quarter of 2012. It was 2013, actually, who showed up in that year. Because if you remember, you still had a job and you were going to go back to bartending, but you made a decision about bartending. And in 2013, in April, you said, "I'm so done with this," about bartending. Who showed up in that year that changed your whole perspective about your attractor factor?
Lara Leopoldi was the very first one who showed up, and she was someone who had been on my products for a year at that point. And she was someone who I had several conversations with about the opportunity, and she had absolutely zero interest until, I guess, about a year after being on the products. Then she finally was at that "I'm so done with this" point in her job, and she was willing to do whatever it took to get out of it. And she truly is someone who did whatever had to be done. She didn't question anything. She didn't question the system. She didn't question social media. She really just threw herself into everything, and I've gotten to watch her just lead this incredible life and build this incredible business with her husband, who I also went to high school with, and her sister, and it's been amazing. And literally right after them, Jeff and Michelle Jackson showed up, who owned the bar that I worked at. They took a little bit longer to really start building, but I enrolled them right next to each other. So it was a pretty powerful time. My attractor factor was on fire.
It was, and I remember that. I remember when Lara hired me, remember in Weehawken, New Jersey, we were doing that event upstairs, standing room only. Lara was at that event. She hired me. Sister Jillian hired me. Michelle Jackson hired me in Philadelphia. And that was a real nucleus of your team, were those two women. And this is what most people don't understand, is a business that has thousands of people really start with a common denominator, one or more of like mind coming together for a common situation. And that's what a mastermind alliance is. And I watch people struggle so much to find those superstars, those rock stars, and they put so much energy into people, then they get attached and disappointed. I want you to touch a little bit on how to let go of disappointment, because it's a situation, it's really the emotional addiction that affects so many people. They have an expectation bigger than their habit, and they end up disappointed. Can you share a little bit about what you and Tara and Alexis have really created in that whole situation about the simplicity of a system? And if you'll actually be a part of that culture, any culture, create your own, what will happen, and how you can let go of the disappointment that keeps you doing the same thing over and over?
I think one of the greatest books, and you brought up Dr. Joe Dispenza already, was one, reading his book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, just to really understand like what the addiction looks like and what's going through our minds and how that's all working. And I'm certainly not a neuroscientist, so I'm not going to try and explain it. But understanding it and having that awareness was huge for me. And then it's like any addiction, right? And you always say it, it's one day at a time, like one day at a time choosing differently than you chose the day before, and not taking ownership every day of other people and what they're going to do. And I don't take a responsibility on for anyone other than myself. I'm responsible for myself, and that's enough. So I don't worry so much about what other people are doing, and I don't get disappointed anymore. I don't get devastated, because I know that there's more people out there for me to talk to. There's more things for me to do. There's so much abundance. It's such a waste of energy to really marinate in disappointment. And I remember hearing Dr. Joe Dispenza say, like, we don't have just an unlimited amount of energy. It's finite. And when I heard him say that, I actually thought to myself, like, oh, my goodness, for how many years now have I put so much energy into things that aren't serving me. And understanding that if I only have a finite amount of energy, I'm really going to be selective about the people, the places, and the situations that I choose to give it to. And it's something that I've been really consistent with. But again, it's one day at a time, really reminding myself of the intention that I set out and continuing to follow that. And it's not always easy. And I'm not going to say by any means I'm 100% perfect. But it's a practice, and with any practice, if you do it every single day and daily and consistently, you're going to get better at it.
CG, you also have your family as contributors and collaborators in your enterprise, and I know your sister, Jamie, I had the privilege of coaching her, and then Todd has absolutely done exceptional in the last couple years. What's it like to be able to have your brother and sister part of your enterprise, not only part of your enterprise, but they actually flourished under your mentorship and leadership within the culture that you created. What is that like to be able to pass that kind of gift on to your family?
It's the absolute best feeling in the world. I was just with my sister over 4th of July weekend, and we were sitting in my dad's backyard with my niece, and I actually said to her, if this was 3 years ago, this would never have happened. I would have been at work behind a bar. Like, we wouldn't just be casually sitting at dad's house on a Saturday morning. And to watch my sister be able to stay home with, in my opinion, the cutest little girl in the world and be giving birth in September to another little girl and be able to be there for them, and for me to be able to be with my sister and my niece and to see my brother live literally the life of his dream. I don't think anybody lives the lifestyle better than if you follow my brother on social media. To watch them lead these incredible lives and to be able to do it with them, because network marketing is amazing and the financial opportunity is absolutely incredible. But if I just had it for myself and the people I love weren't doing it as well, it's not as fun, to be quite honest. So to have them doing it is amazing. But one of the things I always say about them being in my business, I think it's really important, is people will say constantly to me, you're so lucky to have your family in this business with you. And I always say, it's not luck. I'm so grateful to have them in this with me. I can't imagine at this point not building this with my brother and my sister, but it wasn't luck. It was consistency, because my sister took 2.5 years to join me. My brother joined me right before I maxed out the compensation plan, so about 3 years into building my business. They're not here for any other reason than I did it long enough without them. And it was one of those things where I would constantly say, like, I am doing this, and I know you think it's a cute hobby that I have right now, and I appreciate that you support me, but I'm doing it with or without you. And eventually it became, I'm doing it with them. But it would have never happened if I wasn't consistent and I didn't build it anyway, whether they were interested or not, whether they cared what I was doing or not. And I think that's the most important thing is, yes, they supported me, but if they weren't ready to join me, it wasn't going to slow me down by any means. I was going to do it with or without them.
That's great content right there. CG, how important is it to really buy into your dreams? People have wishes, but they're not really clear on their dream. And you are someone who's unequivocally living your dream. You get to travel where you want to travel. You get to shop where you want to shop. You're now able to live where you want to live. Yet it wasn't that long ago, 4 years ago, that you were tending bar on Saturday night. There's nothing worse than going – is there anything worse than tending bar on Saturday night?
Oh, my goodness, Jeff, I don't think there is, except for that you're there until, like, 5 o'clock the next morning.
Do you remember the anxiety you would have at 4 o'clock going into bartend that night? I mean, I've done it 1,000 times.
Knowing you're going to be there for another 14 hours, I remember walking in thinking, oh, my goodness, I have, like, solid 14 hours of this.
Plus, who are you going to be serving typically on a Saturday night?
Not the people I would choose to hang out with.
The people who drink Long Island iced tea. I almost said it. Who drinks a Long Island iced tea anyway? Oh, people that go out on Saturday night, right?
Quite a few people who go out on a Saturday night, that's for sure.
I mean, who mixes 4 white liquors and drinks it? People. I'll have it with a splash of Coke and sweet and sour. Oh, right on, because you are a classy dude. Let me slide one of the, I mean, that's what it's like to go in on a Saturday night. And then Sunday, is there anything worse than Sunday, knowing that you got to do it all over again? I mean, that's the life you led behind.
Yeah, I always say, like, so thankful to Jeff and Michelle Jackson, who owned the bar that I worked at, because I absolutely loved the people I worked with. I always said, if I laughed at work all day long with my coworkers, but I absolutely hated the customers. And I was at that point where it was really quit or get fired, except for they probably wouldn't fire me because I didn't feel I was a really good employee. But I was so miserable and unhappy that I was awful for customer service. I was just at this point in my life where I would have rather walked out of work making no money than actually have to deal with a customer. And that's when I realized you better figure this out quick because this can't last much longer. I was going through life and I didn't even realize how unhappy I was until I stopped going through those motions so blindly. I think sometimes we go through the motions of life unconsciously and we don't even realize like the depths to which we're miserable. And I mean, like I said, I love Jeff and Michelle so much and I love my coworkers so much, but it was sucking my soul to be waitressing and bartending when I always knew I was meant to do something different. And I used to actually sing this song in my head, like the line, "There's got to be more to life," because I knew there was more to my life. I just didn't know what it looked like.
2012 unequivocally was your darkest moments. I mean, as you really moved into that recovery process, people ask me all the time, what was that one big breakthrough? What was that one mythical, magical moment? What book did you read? What download? What event? But to give the people insight, the darkest moments of 2012, what kept you in the game? What kept you keep going?
That's a great question. What kept me going was the people I surrounded myself with, certainly, you, Tara, and Alexis. And I would not have been able to live with myself if I quit because
that was good. What does that actually mean? That was really good and merits me interrupting you. I couldn't live with myself if I would have quit. Can you share? It's like it means you'll sell off everything you'll own to play the game. What does that mean to you?
It meant to me at the time that this worked. I had an understanding that, okay, network marketing works. Okay, I see people succeeding. I was starting to see people I know, like Tara and Alexa, succeeding. So it wasn't a matter of this doesn't work because I had enough proof in front of me that it did. And there was no way I was physically capable of walking away from something that I knew had the potential to change my life and have to look back and live with regret. I cannot imagine having walked away and where my life would be at this very moment. I really was at this pivotal point in my life where, okay, we didn't talk about it, but Hurricane Sandy had just hit New Jersey. I had no idea if our bar was standing. I was finishing grad school. I had a degree that qualified me for nothing except for student loans. I failed my comp exam the first time I took it, which meant that they didn't even know if I was going to get that expensive piece of paper. So I didn't really have a lot going for me in that very moment. And to walk away from the only thing that was capable of providing me any kind of direction or give me any kind of passion, it just was not in my DNA. As much as I might have fantasized about, like, I wish that I could quit, there's no physical way it would have ever happened because I just couldn't live with myself. It's not who I am. And it was going through those moments and being able to look back on it now and think, like, I truly cannot imagine what my life would look like right now. I wouldn't be on this call. I would be standing behind a bar a couple miles down the road. So, I mean, ask me if it's worth it. Ask me if every single one of those wall-kicking moments and the tears and the struggles and all the stories that I went through were so worth it to be right here. Someone said to me recently, like, I'm really happy for you, but you worked really hard. And I said, yeah, I did work really hard. I'm not going to lie to you. I worked really hard. So, but you want to know what was harder? Going to a job every single day that I was so miserable at, staying up until 5 o'clock in the morning because I didn't have a choice. I had to be there. Not getting enough sleep, literally having no passion and no excitement and no fulfillment, that was way harder than the couple of years I really dedicated to working through my own stories and my own BS and really taking this journey. And so it really becomes a matter, right, of pick your heart. And this hard is so much simpler at the end of the day than any other hard that I ever dealt with.
And you put yourself in debt. You didn't have money pouring in. I mean, you used credit to stay in business. I watched you. I'll never forget the elation you had when you were able to write a check for $40,000 to pay off your student loans. What was that like to be able to do that?
It was so exciting, but at the same time, it was one of those things where, like, yeah, duh, I'm going to do this because I'm going to do this. At that point, I had the certainty that this was going to work. So it was incredible, and I'm very grateful for the degree that I earned and all the education that I got, it definitely helped shape the person I am. But it was amazing because I still have friends who tell me that they have student loan payments that are more than their house mortgage. And to know that I live a life that's free of debt is pretty amazing. But at the same time, it was an expectation that I had for myself. I feel like that it was just something that was going to happen. So when it happened, it was a check in my box and on to the next.
I remember that like yesterday. Many people will ask you, CG, how do I? You know the how do I questions? How do I?
Yes, I do. Yes.
How do I get my team to the event? How do I get my team motivated? How do I get my team to prospect? How do I get my team to use the products? How do you address the how do I's that you get asked incessantly now?
I smile, typically. Because I can appreciate where they're coming from, and I know that I came from that same place at some point. And really, like, remembering what this was like for me when I started is something I'm especially now really making an active decision to do because I know what it's like to be in that place. But one of the things that I really believe with all these how do I get people to events or how do I get people to enroll people or how do I get people to do this, it all rises and falls on leadership. And it's all about what am I doing every single day? What am I still doing right now? And I even, like, recently I talked to my team about how I was still doing what was required, and I was prospecting, and I was enrolling, and I was going to events, but I lost that, like, fire in me for a little while. And I realized it was my responsibility to get to work, to get it back, because I can't expect anyone to do anything that I'm not doing. So I don't expect people to go to events if I'm not going to events. I don't expect people to go to networking events if I'm not going to networking events. So I take a really huge responsibility of being the leader that I expect other people to, because especially when I started, I was doing so many things and I didn't have a team that was following me. I was going to events by myself. I was getting on training calls by myself. I was going to networking events. I was doing all the things that we're told to do and nobody was following me. But when Lara showed up and Lara said, "What do I do?" it was so easy for me to say to her, "You do all of these things whether anyone's following you or not, because one day they will be, and you can turn around and say, I did this with or without you, and you can do the same thing. But these are the things you have to do." So I think just really owning the leadership role and being the leader that you want other people to be, because it's easy to think that we're doing enough, but are we really doing what's required? And there's a pretty significant distinction between that.
I also really admire the fact in you is that you have a no drama policy. You walk around the planet with drama repellent.
I like to think so.
And drama spray. I've seen you with it. So here's what that means. It means that I've watched you focus on the solution. You do not get involved in politics. How important is that to people to stay focused on results and solutions and not look at other people's results or get entangled in politics?
Like, it's everything, and it sounds exhausting to do it any other way, honestly, than the way we do it. And truth be told, I learned what I learned from Alexis. So I watched her live in the solution. I watched her not engage in anybody else's drama or politics. And we always say success leaves clues, right? And I watched Alexis literally from the beginning, before she was Alexis Romano that we all love and adore. She was going to events and she was doing all of these things completely under the radar with 100% integrity. So I just learned it from her. And that was really, like, I'm so grateful to have her and Tara, who I got to watch not only become so successful, but to have gotten to really watch their entire journey, because I was able to mirror that in a way that I could really have integrity and stay authentic and be myself and not feel like I was being pulled toward the drama or the politics or whatever could be going on.
I watched you early in your and Alexis career. You were the only person who went to her with events with her. I remember in 2013 that you were the only person that went to the major event in January, and then that year you broke through, as was Alexis. Alexis had a six-figure month that summer. I remember her saying to me the month she just had was surreal, and I said, no, it's real. This is R-E-A-L, real,
yeah.
Not surreal, real. And it was because it was – it was shocking, the events that got created out of that team, shocking in a great way, because the whole compounded effect happened. The compounded effect is really a quantum leap, where 2 plus 2 equals 16. And it's another one of these situations that it can't be explained, it must be experienced. And it only happens when you stay in the game long enough and you master the skills. Now I'm going to ask you a question. This is a technical know-how question, but what one skill would you suggest to anyone listening on the call tonight that is not having the results that they're seeking to create? What one skill would you suggest that they master?
I'd suggest that they master using social media effectively.
How important is that?
Yeah, it's been huge in my business, and it would be a lie if I said I just sit behind social media and people just flood my inbox all day long. That's certainly not what it's like, but learning to be really proactive about it and learning how to come from a really authentic place and make it fun and engaging and draw people in is so important. And again, our entire team learned it really from Alexis, but it's been so significant in my entire organization's growth because it works if you work it correctly. And I come from a place of I did it completely wrong in the beginning, and I turned people off. My own family took me out of their newsfeed, and I verbally vomited 24/7. So I know what it's like to be on the other side of the coin too and really struggle with it. But if you can really work to become efficient at it and really create leads with it and be strategic with it, it's so significant. And I really think it's the direction that the world is going right now. So I would really, like I said, not just like be on Facebook and wait for people to come to you, but really learn how to master it in a way that is genuine and authentic.
You have become an exceptional content writer. But you had to really... groundwork. I noticed it early in your career that you had the ability to write. And your writing originally, just like you said, it was alienating people. How did you cross the bridge into being an exceptional Facebook and social media marketer from where you started? Just like you said, your family was taking you out of your newsfeed. What allowed you to break through and create that attractor factor?
I stopped being who I thought I had to be or who I felt like I had to be this picture-perfect whatever of my company, and I just started to be who I really am, and I found my voice, and I've been really genuine and really authentic, and I share my experiences, and I share my life, and I am so willing to have a self-deprecating sense of humor about the things that happen, and I also share, like, the real things that happen and the real things that I experience, and I think that people just connect with real people. I know that I do, so it was really, like, learning that there's no cookie cutter anything to be. And I always say, like, I learned so much from Alexis with how to use social media. I've learned so much from Tara. We're so different in terms of our personality, in terms of our content. I can't just post what they're posting because it wouldn't make any sense. It would be completely ingenuine to who I am. So I think really finding our own voice without worrying about judgment or what someone's going to say. Because the reality is someone's going to bash you on Facebook. It's going to happen. I don't know anyone it probably hasn't happened to. If it hasn't happened, maybe it's coming. Maybe it never will. But just getting really comfortable with the fact that changing and putting content out there that people maybe haven't seen from you before is going to be uncomfortable for them. It doesn't have to be uncomfortable for you. And just owning that. And like I said, having fun with it. I have so much fun with Facebook. I just enjoy it. I have so much fun with everything I do in this business, and it's so different for me than it was. I wouldn't be saying these words 5 years ago. So it was a process that I had to go through in every area, social media certainly included. But like I said, so worth it because it's just been the time of my life.
And I've watched you become an exceptional leader, and I heard you say earlier that it rises and falls on leadership. Early in your career, I remember you had anxiety. Can I lead these people? But today, you're an exceptional leadership. What tips can you give on people who are in that, I'm not sure if I can, I could, I can't, I'm not know if I can lead? And what insight would you give someone that's in that anxiety about leadership?
Build your posture and build your belief and your confidence, because I really believe at the end of the day, is anybody going to remember exactly what I said? No, probably not. But they'll remember that I had confidence when I spoke, or the posture that I came from. And that's not just about this call. It's about everywhere I go. It's about when I'm talking to my team. It's about when I'm talking to prospects. They're probably not going to remember word for word everything, but they'll know that I was so confident in what I was doing and where I was going that if they're not coming with me, they're going to miss something. And I always say, again, with Alexis, I had no idea what network marketing was when I got started. I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know what we were doing. But Alexis was so confident and had so much posture that I knew I wasn't getting left behind. So it didn't matter if she told me to go stand in traffic. I was going to stand in traffic because I wanted to go wherever it was that she was going. Do I remember exactly what she said? Not really. But I remember the energy that she had, and I remember how she made me feel.
She had conviction, and she still has it. Yeah. So what really, this is a great point. What you did is you borrowed her belief.
Yes.
And that belief kept you in the game. And that conviction. Now, here I'm going to tell you something. I've interviewed, I've interviewed hundreds of people. You unequivocally tonight are the best interview that I've ever had. Here's why. You have one of the best response rates that I've ever interviewed someone, meaning that you have really, really honed your game. I remember I used to ask you questions and you'd check out and I'd go, Earth to CG. But your response rate is fantastic, meaning you're in such a level of belief, power, and trust, there's no separation between you and the answer. You used to be concerned with making mistakes. Today, you don't have concern. You are you, and you are free. Isn't that liberating to be able to speak and be your true, authentic self without worrying about offending someone or whatever story you have?
It is absolutely just the most liberating and freeing feeling. And like I said, it's so much more fun to just be myself than to worry about what's going through somebody else's mind, because probably nothing is anyway. So why give it any kind of significance?
CG, a large percent of society does not understand how difficult it is to struggle. They think succeeding is difficult when it's actually the struggling that exhausts them. Success is much more easy and requires less effort. Could you touch on that as we end the call? That's my last really point for you.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that because we're so conditioned to struggle, but we can change that at any moment with just making a decision, because truly, like I said, like, we choose our hard. Every day we choose our hard. Do I want to go to a job that I hate, or do I want to find time to work on my passion project? So I think when it comes from struggle versus success, it's really where do I want to give my energy and where do I want to focus and what am I choosing for myself? And I chose struggle for a really long time, so I get it. Every single day I woke up and I chose a struggle and I didn't understand it at the time. But coming from a different place now and really seeing the world in just such a different light and without all those weird filters that I had about people and things and what was going on and other people's thoughts, success really does come so naturally because it's just an expectation. And I know that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to get to do some really amazing things and collaborate with some amazing people. And it's just going to show up because it's just now the expectation and the intention that I've set for myself and my life. And it's the same decision to choose success as it is to choose struggle. It's just a choice.
CG, thank you for being a first-class human being, a great friend, awesome client, leader to thousands of people. I want to tell you how much I appreciate being able to be a part of your journey. You are one of the most first-class human beings I've ever met, and people love you, and I just want to tell you how much I admire the courage and fortitude it took between 2011 and 2012. I'll never forget those 13 months that I spent with you. And when you broke through in really December of 2012, I brought tears in my eyes. You're one of the most exceptional human beings I've ever met. Thank you for being on tonight's call. I look forward to sharing great time with you October 22nd. We're going to be in Tampa, Florida, my first time in Tampa ever. I've spoken on that coast of Florida, but never in Tampa. So I'm really looking forward to sharing the stage with you October 22nd. Thank you, CG, for being on tonight's call.
Thank you, Jeff, so much. Truly for everything. I don't say it lightly when I say you absolutely changed my life, and I am forever grateful to you and honored to have coached with you and to call you a friend and a mentor. And and to continue this amazing journey that we're on together, because it's absolutely the best.
It'll be 6 years soon. Thank you very much, everyone,
yes,
for being on tonight's call. There you have it, C.G. Siddons. C.G., how can anyone get a hold of you that is not following you on Facebook?
They can follow me on Facebook. Would be a really great start. And they can send me an
email. How do you spell your name?
My name is C.G., C.I.J.I., and then last name Siddons, S as in Sam, I, D as in dog, D as in dog, O, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam.
And if you're brand new, just tuning in tonight, CG is unequivocally one of the most exceptional leaders in the direct sales, network marketing, free enterprise industry, someone you can definitely follow her content and really plug into what she is doing and being. Thank you very much, everyone, for being on tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. This call has been officially recorded, will be available for playback 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Wednesday morning, 12 Eastern Standard Time p.m. in the afternoon on Wednesday afternoon, podomatic.com, also www.goldenmastermind.com, and there is an icon for recorded calls. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a fantastic evening, and thank you for being on tonight's call.